This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run, 8:48, Wednesday, the 24th of August. And in about 15 minutes, we've got the KLCI opening, as well as the legendary bell, including Global Market Insights with Brian Assis, Portfolio Manager and Equity Analyst at Ford Asset Management. But in the meantime, let's talk about the war in Ukraine, because today marks 6 months since Russia invaded that country in what President Putin calls a special military operation. Today is also Ukraine's 31st Independence Day, as they broke free from the Russian-dominated Soviet Union in 1991.
However, fears of increased attacks are mounting because a few days ago, Russia accused Ukrainian agents of killing the daughter of a Russian ultra-nationalist ideologue in a car bomb attack near Moscow, even though Ukraine has denied any involvement. Officials have banned public events celebrating Independence Day, and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has been warning that Moscow may attempt what he calls a particularly cruel assault. US diplomats have also said that Russia is preparing intensified attacks on Ukraine's civilian infrastructure and government facilities in the coming days. So what is the state of war now, and will there be more efforts for peace talks?
For some answers, we speak to Denis Mikhailiuk. He's a charge d'affaires from the Embassy of Ukraine here in Malaysia. Now, President Zelensky has called for vigilance, saying Russia could try something particularly cruel as Ukraine celebrates Independence Day. What is the situation on the ground now, and how ready is Ukraine for these intensified attacks?
Good morning. Thank you for having me here. Yes, Ukraine is always ready, because it's already 6 months of war. So we have prepared our bomb shelters. We have prepared our anti-missile systems and warning systems. All the public is knowing where to go if the air raid siren is on. We will be still celebrating. It will be not the mass gatherings, not to lure severe attacks from the Russian missiles or bombers, but we will more concentrate on the online events and as well as the charity events all over the world. And we are thankful for the mayor of Kuala Lumpur, Saloma Bridge, will be lighted in our colors today's night.
So 6 months into the war, we've seen various sanctions put in place, but obviously it hasn't stopped Russia from advancing. They've already taken over the Donetsk and Luhansk regions, and Crimea is already theirs. What else do you want to see from the international community?
First of all, their goal was to destroy our country in 1 week, and they're still trying to capture those two regions in 6 months. So that was the second biggest army in the world. So they have lost their goals, and they will lose this war definitely. Sanctions is not to stop the war immediately. Sanctions is to make Russia not potent to do the next round of war. It will work for years. What we do want from international community for now is to ban to the energy resources buying from Russia. This will cut off the money inflow to this country. We are already thankful for the international community for seizing selling of the sophisticated machinery to them. And they cannot reinforce their army. They have biggest losses since the Second World War. This war will be a long one, but it will be ended by our victory, because it's the people who's fighting.
On a humanitarian side, though, millions of Ukrainians have already lost their homes. They've lost their country. Are you seeing signs that some are coming back to the perhaps more peaceful regions?
We have imposed so-called fast recovery plan, so we don't wait for the end of war to start the recovery. The country is divided in three different regions by this plan. This is the battle-affected regions. There the battle is on or occupied territories. The second one is the so-called supporting regions. There the infrastructure will be restored to feed the demands of the army. And the biggest portion of the country, more than one half of it, is so-called safety regions, where we are relocating our plants, where the refugees come and the new houses for them are built.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the economy. What's happening on the ground? Are people really suffering? I mean, is there a viable Ukrainian economy considering there's a war going on?
Up to now, we have suffered direct damages only more than $100 billion. On the first stage of war, Russia destroyed infrastructure, dwellings and property for $1.5 billion a day. Now it's slightly less because we have stopped them. So the significant international effort will be needed to restore the country. It might take decades, but it's already started. There was a conference in Lugano, Switzerland, that the commitment from the international donors were made for $65 billion, and this effort is still on. Our budget is mainly devoted now for the army needs, and, you know, then the people goes to army, they go out of the economy. So they will don't produce additional value. That's why we need approximately $5 billion per month of support to fulfill our social obligations. And we are very thankful for international community and for international financial organizations to providing that. So it is done already.
What about additional military support? What does Ukraine require?
Weapons, weapons, and weapons. We are fighting the biggest army in Europe, and our depots are already empty. We have destroyed around 2,000 tanks. This more than Germany and France have together. They have destroyed thousands of armored vehicles. Russia has suffered their losses only in killed more than 45 soldiers as for now.
Yeah.
But they seems don't care. So our army is very sophisticated in using even the old weaponry, and we are in need of the Soviet build or Ukrainian build weapons from all over the world, and we are switching slowly into the Western design of weapons. We are using them in the network-based warfare, so the effectiveness of use is very, very high. Lots of armies are studying now this case, and, you know, the main advantage of ours, we are fighting for our lives and our homes and our beloved.
Exports of grains have sort of resumed in the past week under a UN-sponsored program. What's the production like? Which parts of Ukraine are actually... Are they seeing some sort of recovery in terms of production of these grains?
You know, those grains which are released to the international markets, this is the yield of the last year. Ukraine is the main breadbasket of Europe. We are responsible for 10% of the grain exports all over the world and number one for sunflower oil, for example. So these were the yields of the last year, which were banned from going to the international markets by the Russian Navy. They has cut off our Azov seaports and blocked the military blockade of Black Sea ports. There are two symmetrical agreements, one Ukraine, Turkey, and the United Nations, and the symmetrical one Russia, Turkey, and the United Nations, to allow our grain exports from the Black Sea ports to go to the markets. The disadvantage of it that simultaneously Russia loots and steals the harvest they can get rich to, and they try to send it to the international markets. We want all the international community about these facts. We know the vessels' names, the captains' names, the port authorities, and we addressed Malaysia as well, not to allow this grain to come here.
Mr. Dennis, I want to know about peace. Is it possible at all? What are the talks like now?
All the wars are ending in peace talks, but now we don't have enough room to start it, because Russia declared that they want to destroy our statehood, our nation, our government, and even our lives. Ukraine has filed a suit to the international legal authorities on genocide. And I think that the real peace talks will start when the Russian forces will withdraw from Ukrainian territory.
But they don't want to withdraw, so are you still mate, basically, in terms of peace talks?
They are forcing them. Now it's not a peace talks. There might be some local
diplomatic
things.
Behind-the-scenes talks, is that happening?
No, they're not.
None at all.
It's about some humanitarian issues, exchange of the prisoners of war, exchange of allowing the grain to go out, all this stuff. But the peace talks are ceased because Russia still has the ultimatums of demanding us to deprive of our sovereignty.
What do you envision peace to be? Would it be back to 2004 borders where Crimea is back in Ukraine?
We do hope so.
But do you envision that to actually happen?
Will Russia give in?
Yeah.
Russia. We already have strikes on... We witnessed the strikes on Crimea.
That's confirmed that it was Ukraine.
Yes, we never told that. They smoke in different places. They should be more cautious about that. their military offensive already stopped. They tried to make pseudo-referendums on the occupied territories to get these territories united with Russia, and this means that they want to stop war on the lines their troops are, and it's not good for us.
Okay, one last question from us. Are you worried that the world will soon forget the war in Ukraine? Because basically news fatigue does set in.
News fatigue is news fatigue, and it's normal. It happens every time. But Europe and the international community, if they want to live in the world ruled by rules, should help us. Else, no rules will be there.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Denis Mikhailiuk, the charge d'affaires from the Embassy of Ukraine based here in Malaysia. And I think it's very important for us not to forget that there's a war going on. Yes, there's new crisis that comes into our headlines every day, but the people of Ukraine are really still suffering, and it doesn't look like Russia is planning to leave anytime soon. Like what he says, right, peace is not forthcoming.
Definitely not. And he does confirm that, you know, at this point in time, there's not even a hint of peace talks even happening. And yes, you're right, the war may be happening 10,000 kilometers away from where we are, but the impact is felt all over the world, from the fact that there's a crisis, a food shortage crisis, and Ukraine produces a lot of the world's grains.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Zelensky, of course, has warned that Russia is probably going, warn of a strong response from Russia. At the same time, the US embassy is also warning their staff there in Kiev to actually evacuate the city because they're not really sure what's going to be happening on the ground. There are worries that there will be some, I guess, military activity or perhaps even some insurgents going on. So I think it's not easy at all to live in a city where war is still ongoing. But like the Charge d'Affaires tells us, you actually have to divide the country into three. Not all parts of it are at war at the same time. Of course, you've got one part which has been taken over by the Russians, one which is closer to that side, so there is some military skirmish. And another part of the country, one third of it, is actually at relative peace where life goes on. But clearly, living under this cloud is not an easy one.
It's all that uncertainty. And I mean, he clearly did say as well that the three regions that that are part of what Ukraine wants as its own territory back, the Donetsk, the Luhansk and the Crimean regions, those are non-negotiable.
So I wonder, when will peace come and who's going to negotiate this? Will it have to be another third power that steps in? Well, we'll be watching this space very closely. Up next, we'll be speaking to Wong Chen, Member of Parliament for Subang Jaya, on the LCS scandal and also his reactions on Najib's sentencing. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.